We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Don't forget to download the free MyMTE app. It'll help save you money on your electric usage.
That's MyMTE. Search for it in the App Store today.
This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
With us today in studio, we have Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr. How are you this morning?
I'm well, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm good. Minus a few allergies.
My wife has got them. I know several people who struggle with them. I am blessed that I'm one of those people that can cut and rake and bale hay and never sneeze.
I'm jealous. That's good.
Not that I'm asking to cut and rail and roll people's hay. I'm just saying I can do that and not sneeze. So I can't feel your pain, but I know you're suffering, brother. I'm sorry for it.
So that wasn't a free service offer out to folks' farms and
cut and roll and rake and tetter or whatever.
That's right. So what all is happening right now in Rutherford County?
Boy, there's a lot going on, as always. For the fourth largest county in the state, Scott, there's never nothing not going on, right? There's always something
that's
going
right.
on. And we're blessed to live here. I talk to mayors around the state all the time, and they constantly ask me this question in one form or another, how do you guys do it? How do you guys prosper? How do you balance your budget? How do you keep taxes low? How do you provide the services? And we have almost a perfect storm of businesses and community-minded leaders and people and government officials and people who just want to serve, church groups, 501c3s that all come together with a similar vision of what this county wants to look like. And I think all those components come coming together create an environment. I'm telling you, there are 94 other counties in the state that wish they had what we had. So there's a lot going on.
There really is. There was a time where if you're driving to Atlanta, driving, into or past Chattanooga, you thought to yourself, man, we're never going to be as large as Chattanooga, but
that's changed. We are now larger than Chattanooga. Exactly.
It's wild how things do change.
It is. And the biggest challenge, without question, that I have as county mayor, and I realize this, is that you and I grew up here. I mean, I've been here pretty much all my life, and I tend to look at the county through somewhat nostalgically through the lens of what it was 30, 40, 50 years ago or more. I'm 67, 60 years ago. And so I tend to look at the county through that lens. And so I have to be careful when looking through that lens that, we're most people who didn't live here all their life that are now here. And so they're coming here. And so you have to, as a mayor, you have to kind of go, what is it that I need to be doing? What is it that I need to be seeing that I'm not seeing because I'm trapped in my old paradigm? And so that's a constant struggle. So we got to serve everybody, and we'll do that.
You got to make a paradigm shift.
We got to make a paradigm shift. Every day, Scott, I have to make a paradigm shift. That's right.
I guess a lot of people, when they first move here, and let's say if they moved here in the last 5 years,
yeah,
it feels like to them this is how big Rutherford County has always been.
Exactly. Or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, for crying out loud. Yeah. Our growth has been just on a hockey stick, if you look at a chart, in the last 20 years. And there's a lot of different factors to that, all of them critical. And so our challenge as community leaders, and WGNS Radio is a big part of that, is that making sure that we maintain our values and our principles, our conservative values and principles, and we'll get to some of those principles in a minute when we talk about the budget, but make sure we maintain those values and principles while at the same time welcoming everybody with a different point of view. And that is the kind of high wire act that we're trying to accomplish, welcoming everybody with the understanding that everybody understands that these are our values and principles, and don't come here to change that. Don't do it.
When it comes to budget time or budget season, however you want to call it, there are certain things that cost a whole lot more than other things, education being one, but that's not something that's necessarily in the regular budget. It's something that the county has to approve, though. But that's one of those big things. Then law enforcement, that's another one. But what are the other big things that maybe most people don't think about?
Well, the biggest items in our budget, obviously, are schools. That's about 75% of the total budget. This year's budget will be anywhere between the total budget, which is almost 10,000 employees, including schools, is going to be anywhere between $900 million and $1 billion. That is massive. And so if you think about a billion-dollar corporation with 10,000 employees, you're talking about, you know, the mayor having a and those in the government having a large responsibility as to the direction of this county. But the schools is 75% of that. Then you have the sheriff's department. That is a big chunk of it because we have added and grown our fire and rescue service. That's a large part of it. EMS, emergency medical services. We provide all EMS, not just for the county, but for all the cities within the county. Those are large departments. Solid waste is now a very large, gotten to be a very large department. Building and codes. We have a couple small departments, Scott, but not me anymore. Again, just because we're a county now of almost 400,000 people. And people expect those services. And one thing that people need to understand about government, as the population grows, so does the requirement statutorily to provide those services to everybody. That requires more resources to perform those functions that are required in law for us. So, unfortunately, government does grow, but hopefully not faster than the population.
I know one of the things we talked about late last year included the idea of a pay raise for, I believe, fire and also the sheriff's department.
Right.
Where does all that stand today?
Yeah, so just a little history. When the last year of Mayor Ketron's term, he gave a 15/20% raise, that long overdue, I might add, raise to county employees. Then
across the board,
15 to 20. Now, 15 to 20, depending on your job description. Okay, not less than 15, but not more than 20. Okay. When I came in, we still were behind the curve, competitively speaking. We had a lot of open positions. We had a lot of turnover. And so, I wanted to make sure that the county was being competitive with Smyrna, Laverne, Murfreesboro, and surrounding counties for the same people for the same job. So I instituted a 5% raise. Then at that point, we're trying to keep up with the rate of inflation, because you remember post-COVID, inflation was crazy. And so now what we're trying to do is, instead of really giving raises, we're doing cost of living adjustments, or COLAs, that match the inflation rate. So the dollar they earned this year isn't less than the dollar they earned last year because of inflation, right? And so we've done a real good job. So earlier this year in January, we came in with another 4.25, and we'll probably do another 1.75. And so now we're getting close to parity with some of these, especially in law enforcement and fire. We still have some work to do, and we're going to try to address that in this budget. But we will do all that within the context of, we will have a balanced budget for the third year in a row, and we will not raise property taxes. Those two things are kind of locked in for this mayor.
Now, are there some commissioners who want to increase the property tax to cover some additional costs that we see as a growing county?
Potentially, that's okay for them to take that position, but if the county commission votes for a property tax rate, unless there is an extraordinarily good reason that I'm unaware of, I would veto that budget if there were a property tax increase. And I would also veto an unbalanced budget. There is no reason in this economic climate, even with the challenges we have out of the assessor's office with the property tax roll, which is a significant challenge for this budget, and we can talk about that in a second. But the fact of the matter is, even with those challenges over there on the property tax rolls, we will not raise property taxes, and we will have a balanced budget. The county commission can override my veto, but that's my stand.
Now, where does Rutherford County receive the largest portion of its funding from? I mean, which
property taxes?
Which area? Property taxes.
About 50% of our total revenue, and that's the challenge we have. As your listeners probably know, the assessor's office was brought before the State Board of Equalization. They were given 60 days from March 3rd or 4th, I think, which is coming up pretty quick with May 5th or 4th. to get the roles to a satisfactory place. If that doesn't happen, then the comptroller's office will come in and take over at that point. Our challenge is we have to have an accurate or pretty accurate property tax roll, and because of the error rate that's coming out of the assessor's office, we don't know how reliable that role's going to be. So Michael Smith, the finance director, and I have a significant challenge, but it's a challenge that we'll meet, we will address, and we will keep the public informed as we get details.
What are some of the biggest obstacles you see right now in Rutherford County?
Oh, keeping up with the rate of growth. That's that, especially in schools. Especially in schools, Scott. Because it's 75% of the budget, especially schools. But then we also have, and we've started to address this, especially with the help of Commissioner Phil Dodd, our infrastructure as it relates to county roads. We're trying to now put together a plan that is much more proactive and predictive about where the growth is going to be, so that we're not fixing our roads or expanding our road network after the development has come in and after the population growth, but we're doing a better job of predicting that. So, example, when we put a school out in Rockvale or Christiana or somewhere like that, at the time of that land acquisition, Greg Brooks, our road superintendent, needs to be brought in immediately and go, okay, assess for us what you think, along with planning, what you believe the road requirements are going to be to fill out or service this new school and the necessary development, residential development that happens around the school. So when you build a school, it almost creates a neighborhood or neighborhoods. And so all that traffic on the existing road network is unsafe. And so we're actively trying to address that.
And when we continue to move forward with the school system growing as fast as it is, we're having to build, of course, new schools, and that's something else that they got to work into the budget, I guess.
We're gonna take to the bond market another middle school out there in Blackman at where the new elementary school, Poplar Hill, I believe is the name of it, and we are going to take to the bond to build a $110 million middle school. Along with, in that bond is included renovation for Laverne High School.
That's going to be expensive because not only is the price astronomical, but bond rates are up right now.
Bond rates are up, but for us, they're not as up as other municipal bonds because, fortunately, we're one of three counties. And thank you for that shameless plug. We're one of three counties that has a AAA bond rating. And so what Michael and I have done with the help of Ted Beatty, our trustee, is we have accelerated the early retirement of many of our older bonds. And so we're retiring those bonds before their maturation date, which gives us increased capacity to borrow, but also lowers our debt service, which is really, really important. So we've been very aggressive in reducing our debt service and paying off some of those bonds early.
Now, when the county goes to look for the right bond to fit the need to build a school, whatever the case is, I guess it's kind of equal to somebody going out there shopping for a mortgage.
Except for we bid it. We send out an RFP, and we will have as many as a dozen different companies bid to sell us their bond service. And so that's a big deal because when you're AAA, that basically is the best rating you can get. If you're AA, AA+, Scott, you may not get any offers for your bond listing. And so we do. I mean, we're going to close on a bond here shortly, and I fully expect that we'll have at least 8, maybe 12 different financial companies want to bid on our bond.
Interesting. Now,
yeah.
Hey, how does a county go about it? I never really thought about this until we started talking about bonds and borrowing money, but how does a county go about protecting the cash, the income that they have on hand?
I love these. I don't ever get these questions.
Well, the FDIC insurance is $250,000, so that's not going to cover it.
No, it's not. But what we have is we have in trustee Ted Beatty a phenomenal intellectual asset. In how he does this. And so Teb, with the assistance of Michael and I, but it's mostly Teb, basically parks this money. A lot of it's local, some of it's not, but he's constantly monitoring the bond rates, and he will shift money around. So, and what you're talking about is our investments. Where are we getting the greatest return on our investments? Because we have a large, very large portfolio, tens of millions of dollars that we get what's called interest income off of because of those and those types of investments. TEB does a phenomenal job for the county.
You know, every once in a while you hear a news story about some town, some city where somebody somehow embezzled, you know, well over $1 million. And you got to wonder, how does that happen?
It happens because there aren't the checks and balances that we have. I will say this, typically that happens in smaller counties and smaller communities without that oversight. There's a lot of oversight here for what everybody else is doing. We like having that oversight. We like having that accountability, because I don't think anybody would do anything intentionally or maliciously, not at all. But we do make mistakes, and you need oversight to go, oh, hey, wait a minute, you made an error there. Oh, thank you. I didn't see that. I'll fix that straight away. That's how it's supposed to work, right?
Yeah.
Everybody makes mistakes. Making mistakes isn't the issue. Is you have somebody watching you, helping you with another set of eyes so you don't do that. But Teb and Michael and I, it's a pretty well work. It's a pretty good working team on making sure that Rutherford County is getting a significant amount of interest income every year. It's a significant part of our income stream.
That's good.
It is. It's very good. And what a lot of people don't know is when interest rates went up, our savings rate went up. So our return on investment went up. So we were in the position of having a lot of money that we could invest that we then received that interest income. So we're fortunate.
Again, Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr in studio with us this morning. You know, there's some years that go by where it seems like Rutherford County, City of Murfreesboro, the different municipalities, they're hit with more lawsuits and things along those lines. And then some years we're not. It's just by chance, I guess, that it happens sometimes.
No, it's not by chance. I am proud to say it's not by chance. In the almost 3 years I've been mayor, I have not been sued one time.
That's good.
That is good. And that's important. And I say that because I am very cognizant of the fact that what I do and what I say as mayor matters. Now, I may not think much of it, but it matters. It's probably going to matter to somebody. And so when in doubt, don't. And if you do, make sure you have somebody around you that helps you understand what the process is, if that makes any sense. So I'm really proud of the fact that we're in a 3-year period where this mayor hasn't been sued. So, and with, we got our fingers crossed. I'm going to make sure I'm on my best behavior for the next year, right?
Well, these are things that realistically you have to kind of account for in government. I mean, you got to figure out, okay, well, we're spending this much money on lawsuits over the last however many years, and I don't know that that is really a category that we ever fully look at.
We have a history of this kind of paying out millions of dollars to settle, and we're still not through settling some of the cases from before I was here. I think what we have done, though, since I became mayor, is working with Ed Elam in our risk management and working with Sonia Stevenson in HR together, the three of us, along with Eric Hennessy, my chief of staff, we have put in place a process and mechanisms that help all of us keep us from doing stupid things that we normally wouldn't do that get us in legal trouble, if that makes sense. And some of it is just paying more attention to, if you're driving a county vehicle, paying closer attention to obeying the laws. You know, if it says, if a stop sign says stop, Scott, don't yield, stop. Come to a full stop, right?
Yeah.
And little things like that. And because, you know, if you're in a county vehicle, if you're a county employee, whether you're mayor or a convenience center worker, it doesn't matter. You run the risk of opening yourself and exposing yourself to litigation if you do something stupid. So we're just gonna do the right thing.
And I'm sure we have insurance in place to somewhat protect us.
But we're also there. We have insurance, and we also are self-insured. So it's a combination. And I don't want to get into those details, obviously. But the county's doing a much better job than it has historically in reducing the amount of litigation, our exposure to those kind of settlements.
That's good.
It
because
is.
That can really run the bill up there really quickly. I mean, that can get expensive.
And it's the thing is you're throwing money away. It's unnecessary. It's carelessness. It's not paying attention. It's, you know, that stupidity. All the things that get you in a lawsuit pretty much were avoidable if you just followed the process.
Yeah.
Follow the process. Whatever the process, just follow the process.
Now, another item that I know you've been talking about a lot lately is the Forensic Center.
Yeah.
And what is it, $15 million approved by the County Commission?
$15 million. This has been a 2.5-year journey for me. I know that the County Commission, Alan McAdoo, Pettis Reed, and others have been talking about it for years. But to be just blunt, there was no plan till I became mayor about how are we going to fund this? What is it going to look like? Who's it going to service? What opportunities does it create for the county? And until I became mayor, I'm proud to say we didn't have a plan. We put a plan together. It took 2.5 years, and the county commission, I'm proud to say, in the March meeting, approved funding up to $15 million in construction costs. And this is going to be a great opportunity for not just the county to service the county, but to service other counties and be a source of revenue to offset the cost of operating this forensic center for Rutherford County. This is a huge win-win for Smyrna and Rutherford County.
So once this new forensic center is built in Smyrna, what else, or is it going to do something other than just autopsies?
Well, it serves, there's more than just autopsies. There's death certificates, there's toxicology, those kinds of things. But we, with a population of almost 400,000, we do about 350 autopsies a year. We pay $2,500 per autopsy to go to Nashville. And to be quite honest, according to our law enforcement officials, the service, especially if there's a death investigation, like a homicide or something, the services that we're getting back from Nashville are less than stellar. And I know we can do a better job at a cheaper cost to our taxpayers than what we're currently doing. And right now, we're the only county this size that doesn't have its own regional forensic center. So, again, this is a part of that, getting out of that paradigm we were talking about at the top of the show, where, you know, you tend to look at yourself like you did when you were a kid within the county. You know, we didn't need a forensic center here 30 years ago or 20 years ago, but we're not the same community we were either. So,
yeah.
The need is real. It's there, and I'm glad the commission stepped up and funded it.
So once this new forensic center is built, we will be one of, what, six total at that point in Tennessee?
That's correct. There's to be one in Memphis. With our forensic center, there'll be two in Middle Tennessee, Nashville and Rutherford County. And then there are three in East Tennessee, in Chattanooga, Knoxville, and Tri-Cities.
Of course, Knoxville UT is known for one of their forensic centers because of the UT being there. And the Body Farm is
It's
been nicknamed.
That's exactly right. And this is going to open up some opportunities for education. We hope to create a partnership with MTSU downstream. We want to create a partnership maybe with Meharry Medical College downstream. We have room to expand. We built this facility with the idea of expansion in mind. So if it becomes a teaching facility, we have the room out there to do that as well. So this is going to create great opportunities for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Now, this is going to be built on land directly, what, next to the Smyrna County Clerk's Office?
That's correct. It's just to the north of the Clerk's Office and to the east of the Convenience Center that's there. We have about 17 acres, and this is the balance of that acreage. We will also be putting an EMS station out there. At the same time, which is part of this project, and we will give Ms. Kroll, that clerk's office, some expanded parking that she's in desperate need for.
Now, while the commission, they approved the $15 million to go towards this, are there going to be other expenses that come up that make it cost a little bit more than that, or what does that look like?
Thank you. Potentially. Unlike other years, and the reason is the tariffs. A lot of this lab equipment comes from Europe and Canada, and so there may be an issue with tariffs on some of the lab equipment and that kind of thing. But I don't think it'll be significant. But I do want to caution the listener that we're in a different economic climate right now until the president gets things settled out for us, that we may have to pay a little bit more. The property taxpayers of Rutherford County will not see an increase in their property taxes, nor will we borrow the money to do this. We are writing a check because we have saved our money for the last 2.5 years for this project.
And how big of a success do you think this is going to be for us?
I think it's going to be massive. I think this is one of those things in the healthcare industry that puts you on the map for other ancillary type services. And so I think this is extremely important to service the needs of the county, but for its obvious future growth.
Again, Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr with us this morning. We got to take a short break, and then we will be right back.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios. Visit MTE.com.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago, and we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least master prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
I am Charlotte Gardner. I've lived at Adams Place for 3 years. Everything's positive about the food. There are so many choices. There is a menu that you can pick and choose whatever you want. And people who have come here for a meal with me are really impressed at the selection.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This morning in studio, we have Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr. And, you know, I'm curious, you mentioned something about state bills and stuff.
Yeah.
How big of an impact do these different pieces of legislation actually have on counties like Rutherford County each year?
A lot. They, as a former state representative, what the General Assembly does in Nashville makes all the difference in the world to the county and to the cities. We are fortunate that we have 7 members of our delegation who do a great job representing Rutherford County and all the diverse and interests that are here. Really, really proud of the work that they've done. And especially this session, they just adjourned last night, I think at around 7:15. So, excuse me. So we haven't got a complete list of the bills that were passed, but I do know that there are probably close to a dozen pieces of different legislation that our lobbyists, we have our own lobbyists now because of the size of the county. It's just, you got to have representation up there every day when they're in session. But Will Denami did a phenomenal job helping our delegation usher through particular pieces of legislation, whether it was Representative Robert Stevens helping Paws out with a piece of legislation about abandoned animals, or whether it was the real estate transfer tax that was going to not raise the tax, but reallocate where the tax revenue was going within the county. The county was advocating that we should have 50% of that instead of all of it going to the state, because to help infrastructure like roads, whether it was the mineral severance tax that was passed, just a number of different pieces of legislation, an educational stipend. I think Rutherford County, again, thanks to Will Denami and his efforts, was able to help push through, I think it was $25 additional per pupil for Rutherford County. So all these things make a huge difference for the county, and really proud of the delegation, what they do for the county. And we work well together, at least in my opinion.
If I'm not mistaken, the opportunity to have a referendum also looks like it went forward, I believe, to allow for different counties to vote on, I guess, taking off the ability for the state to actually take part of the property taxes or charge property tax fees that would go to the state in each county.
So, yeah, I think that I'm not sure if that's going to be a referendum and they're going to try to enshrine that into the Constitution permanently. But yeah, so and quite honestly, I understand the reason for that, because you can never tell where you're going to end up. But the effort to do away with the state property tax is permanently, even though we've not had one in scores of years, if we've ever even had one. I think the last time we had one was maybe 100 years ago or something like that. But nonetheless, we need to secure that in the Constitution or by referendum.
Yeah, it's kind of like a safety protocol to make sure the state, somebody doesn't come in and charge us tons of money.
Yeah, just because we haven't done it, it doesn't mean we won't do it if we're not careful. So let's just not do that.
Politics is kind of crazy. You never can tell what's going to happen, who's going to be in office, what they're going to do. I mean, it's just,
exactly,
who knows?
Exactly. And as much as, and these are the kind of things that you do to put guardrails up about our values and principles. Remember at the very beginning, we talked about, you know, we welcome everybody, doesn't matter where your background is, just understand where you're moving. These are our values and principles. And as we like to say, don't California my Tennessee, right? And so don't do that. And so putting up these kind of guardrails keeps us being Tennessee.
Well, speaking of guardrails, I know a number of years back, TDOT started on their smart corridor of I-24,
yeah,
and that has been undergoing, you know, all the changes have been ongoing, I should say, for quite some time now. But where do we stand with all of that? Is all of that still moving forward, and what's happening?
At an accelerated rate. So the choice lanes is moving forward. It's going to be in two phases. The first phase goes to, I believe, Almaville Road, or just back this side of Almaville Road. And then the second phase goes all the way to I-840. Which is going to expand two lanes in each direction, and it's called Choice Lanes. It's going to be a project that's going to probably begin construction in 20 here shortly, I'd say in a couple of years, but it'll take obviously several years to complete. That being said, we also got awarded from TDOT a significant amount of resources for the Epps Mill interchange. Of course, that's always been on the table. The widening of Old Fort Parkway at I-24, the improved intersection at Almaville Road, and the Cherry Lane intersection, that is going to be expansion for 41A and 24.
So with those choice lanes, are they literally adding two lanes to the interstate?
In each direction.
Okay.
They sure are.
Wait, two lanes on each side,
yeah,
east and west. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And my understanding is they're going to be elevated. For obvious reasons, but they're going to be elevated in some sections, and it's going to go all the way to where the 24 and 40 intersect downtown Nashville.
And have they got an idea on how much they're going to charge people in order to get the special choice pass?
I don't think they haven't said. I haven't seen those numbers yet, if they are available. I will say this. The great thing about this, though, somebody who otherwise would be in the other four lanes is going to choose those two lanes. And if they do, that's going to open up opportunities for you to move smoother and more efficiently in those four lanes. So this is a good deal. It's a good deal for the county. It's widening 24, which is nothing more than a parking lot in the mornings and in the afternoons to and from work. It's got to get better.
And there's lots of states and counties have done similar things to this, all over the place.
Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, these are all states that have already implemented choice lanes with great success. And I know that Butch Ely and the administration have done their homework on this issue, and I'm comfortable with the product that they're going to deliver.
Now, because the lanes may be elevated, but they'll be different and set apart no matter what. But because of that, is there going to be a higher speed limit in those lanes or anything?
I doubt it. That hasn't been determined. If that has, it hasn't been shared with the public or with the mayors. Right now, we're in the very, very early stages of actually planning this. I think they're going to send an RFP out by the end of this year for phase one. And then hopefully they'll get a phase one and a phase two. And then that award will probably happen sometime next year. And then hopefully begin construction in 2027.
Is this going to lead us to having any toll roads in Tennessee?
No. Well, I don't see us having toll roads in Tennessee. And having said that, a toll road is nothing more than a private road. That's all it is. So if somebody, I guess if you want to put a toll road out on your farm in Christiana, I guess you could do it. But I don't think that is something we need to necessarily embrace as an alternative solution. I will say this. Tennessee is one of a very few states that does not borrow money to build roads. We pay as we go. We're one of very, very few states, which goes to why Tennessee is such a solid, financially stable state.
And then the money to build the roads, that comes through what, the gas tax, and also does a portion of the road tax?
Well, only a small part. Remember, okay. This is a joint relationship between private and public. So this isn't a toll road.
Like, I guess I meant in general, money to fund road projects in general here in Rutherford County. I mean, that comes from the wheel tax and then also gas tax.
I see what you're saying. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. I apologize.
But,
I misunderstood.
But we're not paying ourselves. Rutherford County is not putting money into the choice roads, or are we?
Only indirectly. Only as our tax dollars go to the state, and that part of it then goes to TDOT. So TDOT is providing some funding. But again, so indirectly we are.
Well, it's almost, almost 9 o'clock. We're almost out of time here. 8:56,
oh my goodness.
Almost 8:57. So as we close this morning, are there any big issues on the horizon we need to watch out for?
The biggest thing on the horizon is our budget. We've got a significant challenge that Michael and the commission and I will meet with, not getting a good accurate property tax roll, but we'll fight our way through that, and we will have a balanced budget with no property tax increases, and we will make sure that the services that we're required to offer the people will be offered in a timely and efficient manner, and we're proud of that, and I won't be sued.
That's good. And what types of dollars are we talking about for budgets this year? I mean, how many millions, or are we at a billion? What is
we're,
it? You said a billion.
Yeah, we're probably north of 900 million, and we may be close to a billion. I know that our actual budget will be around 900 million, but we actually pass through the county over $1 billion worth of money every year. So that's just not all of it's budgeted. So
I mean, did you ever think
massive
growing up you'd be saying the word $1 billion budget for a county Rutherford?
I wouldn't have said 400,000 people, Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, where did this come from? I mean, it's amazing. And the thing is people want to move here. This is the 42nd fastest growing county in the nation, the fastest in the state of Tennessee. And it's been that for a while. And we have a lot to be proud of. Tremendous to be proud of.
And it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to be mayor. This is what a privilege.
Well, have you got any big plans today? Anything exciting?
Bees. This afternoon late, I've got to go back and take care of the beehives. So we're at swarm season. It's nectar's flowing.
Do you get stung a lot?
Huh?
Do you get stung?
Oh, I got stung like a dozen times last weekend working on a hive. And I got inside my suit and I couldn't get them out. They wore me out, Scott.
That would be a horrible feeling.
That's a horrible feeling.
Well, good luck to you on that.
Thank you.
Rutherford County Mayor Joe Card, stay with us. We do have more news and information coming up next.
Get old. Old National Bank, that is. Old National Bank has the experience and service you need to buy a home, make investments, even online and mobile banking. Old National Bank is in the borough on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, which used to be Mercury Boulevard.
Visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.